You build a personal brand that matters by what you do for other people. In the context that we talk about, that's the audience that you attract and serve through your content initially. It can be other forms of value. And then it's through products and services, right? And that's how you build a favorable reputation, which is another way of saying personal brand. Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Hi, Brian, I have a question for you. Because for as long as I've known you and worked with you, you have been down on this whole idea of personal branding. And yet, you obviously have a personal brand yourself. So how do you square that? Like, what's the deal?
Personal brands are great. You know, my issues with those who conduct themselves with a focus on personal branding as if it happens outside of providing value to others, right? I mean, what's a personal brand? That's your reputation. In business, call me old school, but I think your personal brand comes from the value you deliver to others. In fact, you know, if we're going to talk about branding, you know, which is a subset of marketing, well, let's look at the definition of marketing. The strategic functions involved in identifying and appealing to particular groups of consumers, often including activities, advertising, branding, pricing, and sales. Okay, it's right there in the definition that marketing is identifying and appealing to others. And yet, you know, so the annals of business, especially small business, are littered with bad marketing, quote unquote. Me, 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 us. It's all about, you know, and that's not even marketing by the definition of it, which is why it fails. But there's a simpler explanation for why it fails, because it's not speaking to the interest of the people with the money that you want to spend. And if you don't appeal to a particular group of consumers, that could be B2C, B2B, what have you, then they don't give you money. And what you're performing is not marketing. So often people say, well, that's bad marketing. And I'm kind of spinning that around and saying, no, that's not even marketing at all. That's something else. So, you know, Twitter is an interesting place these days. And part of it, I think, is kind of generational. Younger people coming in and doing bad marketing, or therefore not marketing at all. But really, they just kind of like brag and boast about themselves, like, you know, talking about how much money they make and how great they are. And it's really humorous. I mean, it's like they've listened to too many hip hop songs. Well, listen up, Tupac. That's not going to work for you. All right.
Right.
Listen up, Tupac. That's not going to work for you.
Yes. Yes.
Sub that in for me, Jerry.
I wasn't going to correct
you. Where's the laugh track?
No,
I'm the laugh track.
I just lost all Gen X cred by mispronouncing Tupac's name. I mean, what the?
I know. I don't know what to say. Your personal brand.
I was trying to be funny. I screwed it up. Let's just move on. Okay. Yeah. But okay. No, I mean, seriously, this is what I kind of put down to this idea. People are like, well, I got to build a personal brand, so I got to talk about myself. And that's, in my opinion, the wrong way to go about it. You build a personal brand that matters by what you do for other people. In the context that we talk about, that's the audience that you attract and serve through, you know, it could be through your content initially. It can be other forms of value. And then it's through products and services, right? And that's how you build a favorable reputation, which is another way of saying personal brand. So yeah, having a personal brand is awesome, especially if it's a positive one, but that's not my beef with it. My beef is that people go about building a personal brand misguidedly and thinking that requires self-promotion. And that's an interesting thing, because I've seen people lately using the term self-promotion and promotion interchangeably. Promoting your products and your services and your content, that's not self-promotion. You're promoting something else that is of value to a specific particular group of consumers, to go back to the definition of marketing. So that's promotion, but it's not self-promotion. Just because you happen to write it, you know, that's why I always talk about things in terms of building something bigger than yourself. I don't care if it's an article or a product or your business and brand overall that's outside of you, Joe Blow. That's what matters. And it all flows back to you, because in this day and age, I mean, especially with these seven-figure small type of businesses that we talk about, usually the founders and the business are highly correlated. But I think in that case, you have to be even more careful about not self-promoting and instead promoting the things you build that serve others. But again, I could be wrong, just like I was about Biggie's buddy earlier.
Okay. Wow. Well, okay. So what I'm hearing you say, Brian, okay, so the thing we talk about here, which I think helps put it into context a little bit, is not personal brand, but personal enterprise, right? So is that a smarter way of looking at it? Is that more how you'd frame things? And if so, maybe we should just give a little fitty scent version. it's a terrible joke. It's awful. Cut it out immediately.
It's old rappers week here at Unemployable and Seven Figure Small Podcast.
Those three really should not be lumped together.
They really should
not. No, it's so wrong.
Fitty doesn't get to be mentioned with Tupac and Biggie. I mean, come on.
No.
He's still alive for one thing.
That's true. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So where were we? We've lost.
Personal enterprise. Yes.
Personal enterprise.
We've talked about it a lot. Started out was a concept, Trudy, you know, introduced originally at Further for our Gen X audience.
That's right.
And eventually became a product in the form of the Future Freedom membership site that many people don't realize was designed for Further. It was originally launched at Further, but then we saw so much crossover that it really became an extension of Unemployable. And as we're working right now, it's all kind of morphing under the Unemployable brand. We kind of like that one. We're going to keep the flagship Unemployable brand front and center. But anyway, so let's see. What is a personal enterprise? In MBA speak, it's a vertically integrated suite of products and services. Good Lord. Yeah. Everyone is sexied up about
Woo!
That.
Ow, yeah.
Nice. But no, what does that mean? In English, you basically serve the various needs of a single audience with various offers over time. So a great example of this during Copyblogger Media's days, you know, we had courses and we had paid communities, but then we had WordPress themes and the Genesis framework. We had on the SaaS side of things, we had Scribe, we had Rainmaker, we had all these different vertically integrated products and services, one audience, right? We didn't go off and find a new audience for the next product. No, we were developing things that filled additional unfulfilled needs in the same space for the same group of people. So that's one way to think about the personal enterprise. In the long run, that's what you're hoping to do. And you can do that. You don't have to develop all that stuff yourself. You know, you can obviously, opportunities will come to you for collaboration and partnerships and joint ventures and all this kind of good stuff. But it's your way of exerting and your influence in a way that fills additional needs for people. On the other hand, personal enterprise also means the standard progression by which most of the digital entrepreneurs you know followed. It's like how everyone gets started and then what they do next and what they do next, et cetera. So we have this personal enterprise pyramid that I like to illustrate this with. We'll put it in the post for the show. And, you know, basically everyone starts with client services, whether freelancing, consulting. My freelance days was as an attorney, a solo attorney. And I did that really just to pay the bills while I was trying to start my digital business way back in the ancient late 90s. And then you move on from there. On the pyramid, I have the next step being productizing. That's where you take a service and you standardize it into something that's a bit more scalable, that doesn't require your, you know, bespoke participation, your custom participation in it. From there, you've got affiliate marketing, which once you have an audience can be an incredibly lucrative revenue stream, but it's also a great way to validate product ideas. For example, before I launched Teaching Sales in 2007 off of Copyblogger, we sold other people's courses to see if our audience would actually buy online education. At that time, it wasn't as common as it is now. So that was a way to validate that. From there, then it's your own digital products. And then at the very top of the pyramid, you're an investor or merely lending your participation to a project in order to promote it to your audience and to give it your stamp of approval, if you will. So that can be angel investments, that can be joint ventures, that can be all sorts of cool arrangements. And that's basically the progression of my career now. It's 23 years since I actually had a viable business, which was that solo law practice. So in the interviews we've done at Seven Figure Small, previously we called it Unemployable, time and time again, you go, okay, tell us your backstory to all these amazing, you know, SaaS software entrepreneurs, course entrepreneurs that, you know, big into online education. All of them have the same story, which is, I started out a freelancer. I started out as a consultant, and then something happened. Where I had an insight, and from doing those client services, that's the important part, an insight that came from doing the work that led up the pyramid, right? And again, this was the same for me, although mine was different in that it wasn't the work I did for clients that led to Copyblogger. It was the marketing I did to get those clients that led to Copyblogger, with, you know, content marketing before it had a name. So it's interesting that we all kind of start this way, and yet I'm seeing more and more, especially with the creator economy thing, people want to just skip. I don't want to say paying your dues like it's absolutely necessary, but it's important. You know, doing client work, Trudy, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but doing client work is how you learn to survive and thrive outside of traditional employment, right? It's not just some magical thing that you go out and you create a product and you've got it all down. I mean, you learn valuable stuff during that phase. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that sort of traditional progression, how we look at the pyramid, it doesn't always go that way. And I feel like in my own journey, it's sort of like you scale up and down a little bit because you're finding different places. You know, productizing is something I wish that I had done earlier, but I have a version now. You know, I think that we don't have to look at it as a linear process, but I think at some point you got to hit it all. And as a freelancer, you get privy to what's happening next, like the rise of community building, for example. That's been something that I had to catch on to quickly. My clients were catching on to it. I heard about it. And now it's actually part of something I do in my day to day. So I think that that's sort of something as we're talking about building. And again, like to go back to the beginning, it's not just your personal brand, it's your personal enterprise. So now I have, when you have your fingers in more pies, as it were, you have more opportunity. So, and then it's all about narrowing it down. So I'm curious, actually, Brian, knowing what because I've been following you for years and probably many of the listeners have too, your personal enterprise progression has been, we've watched it, but what would you have done differently? Is there anything you would have changed?
Well, I don't think I could change anything for the time that I did it. If I were starting right now. Oh yeah. Yes. I mean, but of course I have the benefit of hindsight. And of course we're in a very different environment where you have access to tools and platforms and training that just didn't exist. You know, all I had was Seth Godin's permission marketing, and thank goodness for that, because that told me what I needed to teach myself, basically. But you know, it was still doable. It just wasn't, we didn't have the access. And in many ways, maybe we have too much noise out there right now, because I think sometimes people don't know what to do. But knowing what I, you know now, if I were to start right now, I would start with client services. Absolutely. But, you know, because if you're leaving a job, it's the easiest thing to market and sell compared to trying to write copy to sell, you know, get someone to whip out a credit card and buy your product. Client services is so much easier. You basically have call to action that says, call me or contact me and let's talk. And then you can just be a normal, good human being, and people want to hire you. They're talking to you, trying to find a reason why not to, but they'd rather you be the solution, right? But what I would do is start with clients and do it very mindfully and very intentionally, paying attention to the kind of things that they needed from me, the kind of questions they asked from me, the kind of pain points that they had. And then I would productize that, right? I would turn my client services methodology into, I don't know, group coaching or a cohort-based course or something like that. Because that's a different segment of the marketplace, right? So go back to that vertically integrated thing. Sometimes it's not a different, completely different product. It's a different price point, right? You know, you got some people who pay the most money who want your individual attention. They want you to do it for them. And then you've got people who would like a coaching program or you know, an interactive training course where you do it with them. And then there's like the self-paced course that you can take and create from that. That's more of a DIY thing, right? So those are all the same essential information, methodology, how to, just different formats and different price points. So if you approach your personal enterprise progression that way, you know, beginning with where you want to go in mind, to slightly rephrase a common saying, begin with the end in mind, then you can much more quickly accelerate up the pyramid to the digital product stage. And of course you at that point could put affiliate marketing in there at any time, as long as you're building an audience in the process. And that's the tricky part, because most people in client services have feast or famine mode, right? They've got plenty of clients, and then it all goes dry because they don't have a steady pipeline of leads. And what's a steady pipeline of leads? It's an audience. Now, not everyone in that audience is going to be a do-it-for-them type person. So you need to nurture a broader audience to the point when you have a different solution, less you, less money, broader influence. And then as you go to a more passive course or something like that, you know, lower price point, even broader audience. So that's what I would do starting today. And it all follows the same very practical progression that most people go through to get up the pyramid, but you just do it at a much faster rate.
Yep. And also, I think, you know, by looking at it as your personal enterprise and not just you, the person, you, the brand, then you have opportunities to team up with other people. Mm. You're still, right, you know, you're still driving the boat, you're still in charge of your own destiny, but you're not stuck to, and I have to be, you know, I'm always there and I'm always on, and it's always me. So,
all right. Yeah. That's
going back to the beginning.
I mean, for me, I've been doing that the entire time, because coming out of my client services phase, I mean, I had already kind of burn myself out trying to do everything. So I vowed that I would stick to what I'm good at. In my case, that was the marketing and the audience. And then later product development became a big part of what I did. But the point was, because of the structure and the partnerships that I set up, I was able to focus on that for the most part. So I think that's important. It's not just that, you know, collaboration and partnering allows you to do new and exciting things to add to your personal enterprise. It also allows you to continue to do what you are good at and what you really thrive at, as opposed to getting out too much of your comfort zone. I mean, there's no problem with venturing and expanding your skill set and your exposure to various parts of business. But you know, when we got Copyblogger Media to, you know, 8 figures, 65 employees, I was outside of my comfort zone. I had never wanted that. I don't regret it for a second. It made me a better person. But I don't want to do it again. You know, so that's to me an example of the kind of flexibility that you have. Once you get to a certain point, you don't always have to shoot for the moon if that's not what you're after. Or if you are, have at it, because you can, with the very same audience first structure that we talk about in the context of 7-figure small businesses.
Yeah, I like the idea that you can just keep that, the soul of a freelancer, and scale it on up. That's winning, in my opinion, sticking to it.
Absolutely. I was trying to think of a cool 90s rap reference. Like, you know, you don't always have to be Suge Knight starting Death Row Records. You can just stick with promoting your own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Suge. What a guy.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you two later.
Oh my god.
Coming up next week, more 90s rap talk.
I like my 50 Cent reference.
Just doesn't fit with those two guys. It really, I mean, it's-